reminds the Colossians what they had learned about Jesus before they obeyed the gospel. And they were to continue to walk in those truths and not let them go. They were to continue in what they had learned and had been taught. They were to be rooted and built up in Christ. Now, Jesus is called the root of David, Revelation 5:5. Revelation 22:16 calls him the root and offspring of Jacob, or David, rather. And the word translated root in that passage is found 17 times in the New Testament. Every one of those times it is translated the same way, no variation. It is always translated root. A related verb is used 4 times and in the New Testament and is translated uprooted. And one other verb is used in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. And it's translated rooted. It's the same word used in a parallel passage in Ephesians 3 and verse 17. And these are the only times that word, that verb, occurs in the New Testament. Now, these Colossian brethren had been rooted and grounded, built up in Christ, and they were to abound in their faith with thanksgiving, as we read. And they are warned against anyone cheating them. Now, cheat is not my favorite word. The word should be translated because it's very literal. It means to be carried off as a captive of war. The word in the King James is spoiled. Don't let any man spoil you. Make a spoil of you. And so you don't want to be carried away captive by some vain philosophy. Now that could be within Christianity or outside Christianity. There are many vain philosophies that men have concocted through the years, and we're going to be talking about one of those. As we think of being made a captive of war, this is yet another reason to hate every false way, as we talked about from Psalm 119, verse 104. Because people are taken captive by these false philosophies. So, Paul affirms a few things. Number one, Jesus is God. Now, John wrote his gospel to prove that very point, but Paul often mentions it, and so do the other New Testament writers. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so we want to remember verse 9 as well. Furthermore, every Christian is complete in him. So many of the false philosophies, the vain philosophies, are reaching out to people and saying, oh, you don't have it all. Here is something more. Here is a secret that you didn't know. Here is a doctrine that you haven't been made aware of. And you need this to be made complete. No, Paul says, in Christ you are made complete. And so you don't need Buddha. You don't need Muhammad. You don't need the New Age religion. You lack nothing you need to make you perfect in Christ. And so why are we dealing with this subject? Because we had a question in the question box. It says, what exactly is the New Age religion? Since there are so many facets, it's going to require several focuses of attention to be placed on certain things to give a complete answer. Let me begin, though, by just mentioning briefly my background on this subject. I was asked to speak on it at a preacher's meeting. I'd never even heard much about it until then. So I went out and bought a few books and read up on the topic, had enough material to present about 45 minutes worth of information, And the preachers at that meeting seemed very appreciative of the materials. Later, I thought, well, I'll present this to the congregation. So I did that and pretty much thought that would be the end of it. A year and a half later, though, in just a casual conversation, the topic came up. And I mentioned all of that to Gene Burgett, who at the time was preaching at High Springs, Florida. And to my amazement, he said, "Can you put together enough material for an entire workshop on the subject?" And I said, "Well, I guess so. I'm going to need more than what I have now, however." So I read a couple of Shirley MacLaine's books along with a bunch of other materials and went ahead and presented six lessons at High Springs, Florida, a couple of decades ago. The interesting thing is that at almost every session, someone would talk to me and explain how he or she had been involved with someone from the New Age movement just recently. For example, a real estate lady was told by a young couple that they were looking for a place to live and that they planned to write children's books as the Spirit moved them. And they were not talking about the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit moved them. Now, the population of High Springs was under 5,000 at the time, but we kept finding all kinds of connections the week we were there. Barb made an interesting and pertinent discovery, absorbing the local color. She visited a cafe called Sophie's Cafe. Glancing at the menu, she noticed that it said that this was a woman-owned business operated along matrifocal lines where love, communication, cooperation, and a desire to serve in harmony with the earth are the bottom line. Well, you may wonder what matrifocal means, and it was defined on the menu as referring to ancient cultures in which women owned their bodies, their children, and their living properties, and made the vital decisions affecting the survival and well-being of their people. And so it was a New Age cafe. And that just kind of served to emphasize how many inroads this, quote, religion was making at that time, even in small-town America. But it's not limited to small-town America. There's a rainbow gathering there in Bosnia. So it's not just local. It's all around the world. The New Age ideas have been very popular. It's kind of come in waves. It'll kind of peak and then maybe die down a little and then peak again. There are entire bookstores that sell New Age books. A number of metaphysical bookstores doubled in a five-year period from 1984 to 1989. And there are some celebrity supporters of the New Age concepts, such as George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Shirley MacLaine, Oprah Winfrey. These are just a few of names that are fairly well known who support these ideas. Well, having all this material, and having six lessons out of it, eventually I taped a series for World Video Bible School about 20 years ago or so. So let's begin then by defining what the New Age religion is all about. And we'll start with this. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. Everybody sing. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Just kidding about that. But this was a song that was number one for 6 weeks back in 1969. Very popular. But the writers of the song probably had no idea that within just a decade, a book would summarize New Age philosophy, and it would be called The Aquarian's Conspiracy, written by Marilyn Ferguson. It sets forth the tenets of the New Age, and she explains that the derivation of the word conspiracy is used in a positive way. And then after that, she recounts her choice of the word Aquarian. So here's what she says. Conspire, in its literal sense, means to breathe together. Now, we get that from our Christmas songs. Later on, we'll conspire as we sit by the fire. You know, walking in a winter wonderland. Well, anyway. She was using it in that sense of to breathe together as not something to be shunned or feared, but something to become part of. It is an intimate joining. To make clear the benevolent nature of this joining, I chose the word Aquarian. Although I am unacquainted with astrological lore, I was drawn to the symbolic power of the pervasive dream in our popular culture that after a dark, violent age, the Piscean, we are entering a millennium of love and light. In the words of the popular song, The Age of Aquarius, the time of the mind's true liberation. Yes, this is what New Age promises to provide for people. So there is nothing secretive about this conspiracy. Her co-conspirators share these insights. What is it all about? She describes it as a leaderless but powerful network. That's interesting, isn't it? Leaderless. That is to say, there are many leaders, but there's no the leader of the New Age movement, unlike most instances. It's a loosely affiliated group of individuals into which are 10,000 of entry points. So New Ageism promotes the autonomous individual in a decentralized society. The search for meaning that becomes an end in itself becomes the focus of attention, which involves a transformative process. Once this journey has begun in earnest, there is nothing that can dissuade. No political movement, no organized religion commands a greater loyalty. Interesting, isn't it? Douglas Gruthwis defines the New Age movement as a variety of people, organizations, events, practices, and ideas. He defines its adherents as a constellation of like-minded people and groups all desiring a spiritual and social change that will usher in a new age of self-actualization. Eliot Miller sums up this ism with these words: the New Age movement, then, is an extremely large, loosely structured network of organizations and individuals bound together by common values based in mysticism and monism, the worldview that all is one, and a common vision, a coming New Age of peace and mass enlightenment, the Age of Aquarius. D.A. Carson presents the following description. The aim is not to be reconciled to a transcendent God who has made us and against whom we have rebelled. Instead, its emphasis is to grow in self-awareness and self-fulfillment, to become self-actualized, to grow to our full potential until we are rather more at one with the God universe than we would otherwise be. The focus, in short, is self. The focus, in short, is self. The news magazine Time did an article for December 7th, 1987, and their conclusion on page 62 was appropriate. So here we are in the new age, a combination of spirituality and superstition, fad and farce, about which the only thing certain is that it is not new. But this is what they call themselves, of course. Now, how did this get started in modern times? Constant Cumby did a lot of research on this and explains that the New Age movement received its modern start in 1875 with the founding of the Theosophical Society by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. Go ahead and say that three times real fast. Who worked in telepathic communication, serving as a fulcrum for the masters. Joining her society were a Buddhist high priest, a Swami, Thomas Edison, and General Abner Doubleday, the usually recognized founder of baseball. So even at its very beginning, it had its share of well-known adherents. Helena wrote two books under the direction of the masters, which is the alleged means by which much of their material is written. And those two books were called Isis Unveiled and The Secret Doctrine. Notice there's always something that you don't know, that you don't get out of the Bible. There's always something different and implied better than what you're getting from the Word of God. After Blavatsky died, Alice Ann Bailey wrote more than 20 books in an effort to provide foundational instructions for the new age to come. Alice showed tenacious hatred for Orthodox Christianity and fierce loyalty to the cause of occultism and Eastern mysticism. In other words, she was not unlike a lot of college professors today. She established Lucifer Publishing Company. Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922 in order to disseminate her works. Because of the protest of the word Lucifer, it was later changed to Lucas Press. So if you have a book that somebody has given you and says, oh, hey, this will give you great enlightenment, read this, see if it was published by Lucas Press. And that will tell you and confirm your suspicions that it is, in fact, New Age material. In the latter half of the 20th century, other people came to the forefront. For example, David Spangler, author of Revelation, Birth of a New Age, joined the Scottish community of Findhorn in 1970, 8 years later after its founding, or 8 years after its founding, but in 1973 he left to form the Lorien Association. You can find a number of groups like these and maybe have no suspicion that they are New Age. But this one is. It's headquartered in Madison, Wisconsin. So, again, just as per the definition, a lot of individuals and a lot of groups hold to New Age precepts and advance New Age ideas. We've already mentioned Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote the Aquarian's Conspiracy. Prior to her landmark book, she published the Brain Mind Bulletin, a twice-monthly newsletter from 1975 to 1996. Her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, was translated into 16 languages. So as we talk about some of these things that you have hopefully never heard of, that doesn't mean other people have not heard of them. They are, in many cases, well-known, well-publicized, and well-read. Since New Ageism consists of a loose federation of individuals and groups who hold certain views in common, it is not unusual for one segment to isolate itself and then be stranded. For example, about 50 years ago, there was a person named Benjamin Cream who claimed to have telepathic communications. It turns out they were more telepathetic communications, but they were allegedly from someone called Lord Maitreya. He took out advertisements in over 20 cities worldwide to announce this Lord's imminent coming. He was supposed to be the second incarnation of Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, the fifth Buddha, the Imam Mahdi, and Krishna, all rolled into one. How's that for a deal? The only problem was he never showed up. And so despite all of the broadcasts and all of the publicity, back in April of 1982, the Lord Maitreya never materialized, which is a shame, so since he was going to show us how we could all live together peaceably as brothers. You know, I thought the New Testament did that. Well, anyway, Cream's branch of the movement swiftly withered, but due to the structure, or perhaps non-structure, of New Age, this failure made no appreciable difference. Actress Shirley MacLaine is undoubtedly one of the most well-known spokespersons for the New Age. She wrote the book Out on a Limb and also a sequel, Dancing in the Light. She also had a miniseries titled Out on a Limb, which was replayed for years after it was made. Her influence cannot be denied. She popularized, you know, you can have someone set forth philosophically a position or an idea, and maybe people pick up on it and maybe they don't. It is said that Darwin was rather dry reading, and he was popularized, his theories and ideas were popularized by Huxley. If it hadn't been for Huxley, maybe they would have not had such great success. Well, the same thing is the case here. Shirley MacLaine popularized the New Age doctrine, and so she has been a force for making it palatable to people for several decades. The Celestine Prophecy is another very popular book written by James Redfield. It was on the New York Times bestsellers list for 165 weeks, more than three years. And most of that time it was in the top 10. Imagine a book in the top 10 for more than 3 years. Well, 4 days after Connor's questions and answers last week, I got an email talking about a video we ought to see called Yoga and New Age. Well, I haven't looked at the video, but I'm not surprised, because it would fit right in with this emphasis on Eastern religion. Now, all of this stuff that as they present it and as they popularize it is appealing to a lot of people, which is the reason that we started out with Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, especially verse 8, don't let anyone make a spoil of you. Don't be made a captive by this kind of philosophy. Again, we Christians have all we need in Christ. As we also read from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. No matter how appealing it might be, these people have nothing to add to Christianity. They have nothing to replace Christianity. But that is what they are seeking to do. So despite whatever anybody else claims, we have all we need spiritually in Christ. We are rooted and built up in Christ. And tonight we'll, Lord willing, look at some more things pertaining to this on how we've defined what it is, but we're going to look at what their chief beliefs are. But we need to be in Christ. Everyone here this morning knows how to get into Christ, but there may be some viewing who do not. So we ask the question, how do you get into Christ? And the answer is, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So faith is a huge part of the process, but it is a process. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Yes, many people just want to stop with faith. But faith leads a person to repent of his sins. And a person, if he wants to belong to Christ, must be willing to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, and then rise up to walk in newness of life. If there's anyone watching who needs more information, please contact us. We'll be glad to talk on the phone, the computer, or whatever, in order to answer any questions you might have. If there's anybody here who needs prayer or has a spiritual need we can help with, let us know while we stand and while we sing.